This is Backseat Box Office, episode number 259, for the weekend of April 22nd through April 24th. Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to a Backseat Box Office, where we mostly talk about movies, but some other stuff. So, like, one of the other stuff things we're going to talk about is, Art, what is going on with the Forever Stamp?
With the what? Who?
Forever Stamp.
Oh, I don't know. What happened? I missed it. I just deliver the mail. I don't sell stamps. That's a clerk's job.
Okay. Obviously, you can't spell team player without Art. So I guess the Forever Stamp went down 2 cents. That's what I'm talking about.
I did hear about that.
First time in 100 years, or second time in 100 years.
I think they said 60 years ago, sometime around World War II. I did hear that the prices went down a little bit. Which, hey, good for everybody. Cheaper stamps.
Yeah, I just thought you'd have your incisive.
No, I got nothing.
Commentary, but thanks for mailing it.
I'm sorry. You know, stamps got 2 cents cheaper. I still got to deliver them.
No, I'm
not going to get paid any. I'm not going to get paid any less, so I'm not that worried about it. What it means is that the Postal Service is doing well financially because the stamp prices are linked to directly how much profit we're making. Because if we're making too much profit, then we have to drop the price of the stamp. So it means we're reaching a financial even keel, because we have a mandate to neither make nor lose money, but to run at our expenses, to not be overly profitable, but to not lose money. So that's actually probably a good sign when you look at it overall.
Something to worry about. There is actually a website called foreverstampvalue.com that will tell you exactly how much a forever stamp is currently going for and when it changed. And the historical data on the prices of forever stamps all the way back to 2007. So, but, you know, to be honest, they're trying to sell you to go to sign up for Amazon Prime. So good for them. All right. So now that I bored everybody at the front instead of the back end of this podcast, how you doing, Art? Other than that,
I'm doing very well. I went back and I had fallen a little behind on our episodes, and so I listened to the last two episodes of our show, the last three episodes of the Backseat Producers, and I saw we had that. You specifically chastised me for saying we did two shows in a row and that I was going to jinx us, and then we missed a week. So I thought that was kind of funny. But here we are back again. So just 1 week off, not too bad.
By the way, why did we miss last week?
I was sick. I was sick. I had a low grade fever. I have a cough. You can still hear it in my voice a little bit. I had achiness. I fell asleep in my clothes on the bed when I was supposed to be calling you.
Okay. So you overslept.
I came home from shopping and I knew I had a show to do. I said, just lay down for a minute. And next thing I knew, I woke up, it's 4:30 in the morning, I am drenched in sweat, and just not in a good place. So I was a little under the weather. I am much better this week, just got a little bit of catch in my throat. But other than that, I'm fully recovered.
No, I was just bringing that up because you're just continuing the tradition of being a Backseat Box Office host, because I remember more than once the podcast recording getting held up because one of the three hosts was not awake. So back when these were the days of Tony, Jonathan, and Andrew, back when they used to Ustream.
Yeah.
So remembering, you know, days long past. All right.
Yes, yes.
Something that passed, but not so long ago. Let's talk about the box office last week. So for the weekend of April 15th through April 17th, here's your top five. At number one, we have The Jungle Book. at $103.3 million on just over 4,000 screens. Thank you, Disney. At number two, we have Barbershop: The Next Cut at $20.2 million. At number three, we have The Boss at, we're going to say $10 million even if we're generous with the rounding. At number four, we have Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice at $9.0 million. And at number five, we have Zootopia at $8.1 million. And there's your top five.
Yeah. Look at that total gross between Zootopia and Batman v Superman. It's almost caught it. It's been out a couple weeks longer, but that gap is just getting smaller and smaller, and it's falling slower and slower.
Yeah, it's interesting that I think in the context of the genre of movie that The Barbershop getting $20 million is actually pretty good.
That is not a bad no.
I guess third movie? EEW did an article about that, the black comedies are not doing that bad. I mean, kind of have a focused demographic, I guess, if you could say that. I don't know. But that there's kind of like a renaissance. I guess the very first Barbershop made a lot more money than it cost. Art, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still
there. Okay. You cut out. Because, you know, I don't know. It seems like there's not a lot of comedies anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what level Ice Cube's involvement was with this one was.
Mm-hmm.
Is it his production company? Is he even still in it? I didn't see the previews for it.
Yeah, it does have Ice Cube.
Okay.
I don't know how if he's executive producing.
I gotta imagine
or what have you.
I gotta imagine he's got his fingers more into it than just acting in it at this point. I mean, with his production house doing all the things it's doing, why wouldn't he keep doing this? It's kind of like, it's not where he got his start, but it's definitely something that's helped his career along the way. And if they're still making money, they're still making money, you know?
Yeah. Well, so. I think I could be wrong, but I think Friday was where he kind of went into the comedy.
Right, like I said, I'm not saying that's where he got to start, but yeah, Friday is definitely a big influence. But I mean, just the kind of his acting career taking off would probably link back to Boys in the Hood.
True. But to me, he made the second or the 22 Jump Street. I see this. I don't know, just something about that guy. But stick a pin in this for because next week I want to talk about more with the EU. I'm sorry, the EW, the Entertainment Weekly article was talking about, because by their measuring standards, the top comedy in like the last 10 years was Ride Along.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. And, but they did not, I was a little surprised and, you know, obviously we're talking about box office, but I did not see any of the, Tyler Perry movies in their top 10. Which I was very surprised about. So I don't know how they compile this list, but I'm gonna write myself a note so that we can talk about that next week at the box office. Okay. All right. So there is our box office. So now let's move over to new movies that are coming out this week. So Art is going to tell us about the one new movie that's coming out wide release.
Okay. Our one new movie is The Huntsman: Winter's War. It is currently 19% rotten on the tomato meter. 96% want to see it. It is going to be on almost 3,800 screens. And here's our recap. Freya the Ice Queen, Emily Blunt, brings her sister, Revna, Charlize Theron, back to life. And the powerful evil siblings plan to conquer the Enchanted Forest. Only the Huntsman, Chris Hemsworth, and a secret lover, Jessica Chastain, can stop them in the sequel, continuing the inventive twist on the Snow White fable. Rated PG-13 for fantasy, action, violence, and some sensuality, is a drama, action, adventure, science fiction fantasy. Directed by Cedric Nicholas Troyan, written by Craig Mazin and Evan Spilotopoulos.
Very good.
Sure.
Better than I would have done.
Runtime 2 hours and 3 minutes. Let's see, who else do we have here? We have Nick Frost, We have, I don't recognize any of these other people who weren't already named in the short little blurb.
So, all right. I was just going to say, yeah, I don't think I'll be going out of my way to watch this.
I won't go out of my way to watch it, but I do want to see it. I was pleasantly surprised at Snow White and the Huntsman.
Hmm.
So yeah, we'll see what they do. And, you know, getting rid of Bella and just focusing on Chris Hemsworth, not a bad choice there. The way I see it, it can only go up.
All right, so we're going to go with one fresh review and two rotten. The one fresh is Alex Donow from Trespass, whatever that is. Better than it has any right to be. Okay, first rotten is from Mara Reinstein from U.S. Weekly. Charlize Theron is off screen for a full hour, presumably reading better scripts. And then we have Chris Nashawati. There needs to be urgency, shape, and emotional investment. In a word, a script. Otherwise, it's just a 2-hour Vogue fashion shoot highlighted by Emily Blunt riding bareback on a polar bear. So,
Emily Blunt riding bareback on a polar bear. I mean, that sells itself.
Yeah, he might have just sold me. I might need to find a wallpaper.
Better than it has any right to be. That's how I felt about 21 Jump Street.
Yeah.
Sometimes these things, they surprise you. But yeah, like I said, I don't think I'm going to the theater to see this. Maybe if Brittany sees the trailer, because I think she enjoyed the first movie. But the big problem is she's a Twilight fan, and they got rid of Bella. So yeah. So we'll see how that goes.
All right, so that was the one movie coming out wide release. So unless there's anything else you think we should talk about in this segment, we can move on to share time.
Yes.
So, Art, what have you been watching?
Here we go. So, I saw the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 trailer, the new trailer that had more stuff in it, and I'm still excited for that one. The Doctor Strange trailer, I'm pretty excited, and there's not a lot of dialogue in the trailer, but I think Benedict Cumberbatch does a good job of not sounding like Benedict Cumberbatch.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that was one of my biggest problems. I thought he was going to sound like Benedict Cumberbatch, and he's just, Doctor Strange is not British. But you know what? The Brits always do a better job of our accents than I think we do of theirs, generally speaking, with the actors.
But what if he is British?
Who is British?
What if Doctor Strange is British in the movie, in the cinematic universe?
I suppose, I don't know. I suppose I'd have to look in. I mean, I guess. I don't know. It just doesn't suit the character. It's not who he is.
Well, no, I'm just, you know, it's one of those details that,
right,
you know, fanboys will get butthurt over, but that probably could be a big deal. I don't know.
I was a little trepidatious, let's say, about his portrayal, but at this point, I'm willing to give Marvel a lot of leeway, because they've just done so well with everything that they're doing. So I'll be going to see it for sure. Let's see. The Through the Looking Glass trailer looks really good. I talked about this a little bit as far as being interested in the movie, but I hadn't actually seen the trailer yet. I went out, I watched the trailer, and yeah, definitely that one we'll be seeing for sure, because Brittany absolutely loved the first movie. did you see the Disney Pixar X-Wings parody trailer?
No.
Oh. Write that down, sir. It is hilarious. So
Pixar
X-Wing. Okay. X-Wings. Instead of planes, it's X-Wings.
Okay, all right.
And somebody put in a lot of work, and it's hilarious. So yeah, I saw that, and I had to make a note, because I don't know how you missed it, but I'm gonna go find it, and we're gonna get this watched. But anyway, that is it for trailers and upcoming things and interesting things of that nature. I have finished Daredevil season 2. And it was really, really good. There was, like I said, I told you there's one big disappointment right in the middle, something that really upset me character-wise. But other than that, it was fantastic. It was totally worth watching, and I can't wait for more. I watched do you remember the Claymation Pirates movie that was from the people who did Wallace and Gromit? And we actually picked that up. Aubrey saw it. She's been on a Pirates trip lately for whatever reason. And so she saw this movie about pirates, wanted to know all more about pirates. And she's been asking me question after question about pirates. And it's been kind of funny. I saw that. I would recommend it. It was very cute, very funny, and well animated. So we talked about, remember we were talking about Netflix originals.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I talked about how I'd watched quite a few and I really enjoyed Netflix original. Netflix has finally fallen on its face, in my opinion. They have a new cartoon. It is called Kong, King of the Apes.
I knew for a fact that I wasn't going to have to say a word that you would be bringing this up. So go ahead. Because it wasn't there, what are the dino trucks?
Yes.
Did they do dino? Okay. So
they did dino trucks. And I love dino trucks. Dino trucks is awesome.
Yeah.
This King of the Apes is no dino trucks, sir. No dino trucks. It is so cheesy. It is not well animated. The dialogue is borderline atrocious. I mean, it's a kid's show. Aubrey, unfortunately, loves it. But it is terrible. I will not be watching this with her. I will suggest other things at every opportunity I get. There's still way more good than bad when it comes to Netflix originals. But Kong King of the Apes does not get my stamp of approval. I did remember another one that I haven't seen, but that got a lot of good reviews and that I still want to watch at some point. Do you remember Sense8?
Mm-hmm.
So I still want to see that one. And I believe that's another one that's going to be really good. I've heard nothing but good things. And it is another one I want to watch. But I just thought of that as I'm talking about Netflix originals right now. So let's see. There is an anime called Gargantia on the Verduous Planet. It is a one season, 13 episode giant robot anime, and a buddy of mine recommended it, and I started watching it, and I literally watched the entirety of it over the course of one night.
Wow.
From like 11 o'clock at night till almost 6 in the morning. I was utterly enthralled. I absolutely, absolutely just adored it, loved every minute of it. The characters were phenomenal. The story arc was incredible. The animation was excellent. I cannot say enough good things about this program. I mean, it hooked me in like the first time I read Asimov's iRobot. I brought that book home. I read it. The next thing I know, it's like 5 or 6 in the morning. I've read the book through in its entirety. It is that level of a classic. I got that much enjoyment out of it. And I cannot say enough good things about Gargantia. I think I was about halfway through the night. And I posted on Facebook to the guy who recommended it, basically saying, F you, I'm not getting any sleep tonight. So that was that. I cannot recommend that enough. Last but not least, picked up my copy of Star Wars: The Force Awakens. I saw the Target special edition paper cover edition.
Yeah.
Oh, that was laughable. That was terrible. I heard your complaints, but I could not imagine how bad that was.
Mm-hmm.
So I did not pick up that copy. I got the regular DVD, Blu-ray, digital copy in a plastic case. F you, I don't need your extra interviews. 20, I think it's like 20 minutes of interviews and a cardboard box to keep my DVDs in. Excuse me? No. What are you thinking? But so, and not only did I buy it, but we watched it. Aubrey loved it. Brittany even enjoyed most of it. She got through to about the third act and then it was just too long for her. but she really, really liked, all of the new characters, Poe and Finn and, Rey. Finn was her favorite, cause he really does shine in those first two acts. And that was that. Everybody enjoyed it. And, I now own it and I'll be watching it again, I'm sure. But that, yeah, that wraps up my share time.
Okay. So my, mother-in-law was kind of bitter that I never took her to the theater to see, episode 7. So I invited them Sunday night to come over and watch it. And, she loved it, but my father-in-law, who does not enjoy science fiction movies, and he doesn't really watch movies that much because he can't stay awake through a 2-hour movie.
Right.
So, but the funny thing was when the movie was over, his only words were, "What happened to a Han Solo?" Because he fell asleep during the death scene.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Don't ask. It's better if you don't know. Just let that one go.
Yeah.
Let that one go.
Yeah.
You're obviously not on the internet, so it really doesn't matter. It won't affect your life to not know. Just let it go.
Pretty much. But that was pretty funny.
Sorry, just to interrupt real quick, but I think it was like, you know, Entertainment Earth. Mm-hmm. They sell like all the movie props and whatnot. I think it was, I don't know if it's a real item or if it's just a mock-up, but it is a Han Solo with a lightsaber through him.
Oh my God.
Okay, please continue.
That's crazy.
Yeah, too soon.
Yeah. And he insisted, he noticed on DVR that we had It's a Mad World, mm-hmm. Which I still can't believe is rated G, but it came out in 1963. And we started watching that, and it's a little heartbreaking because there are so many, you know, A-list movie stars of yesteryear.
Oh, yeah.
Mickey Rooney, Jimmy Durante, Sid Caesar, so many more. But we got about halfway through it, so I got to finish watching that. So maybe I'll report on that next week. Okay, so I am a little behind you on Daredevil. Last night I got through to episode 5.
Okay.
I'm really liking it. It's a little on the slow side for me.
They're building.
I understand.
Going for a nice crescendo.
I understand that. Even though I feel slower, I think the first episodes of season 1, I felt like the episodes were like 2 hours long. So it just has a, you know, because we're familiar with all the characters, until they start, you know, the Punisher ends up showing up more. Mm. But I'm excited to see where they're going. And, you know, I kind of got pushed into, I really need to make sure I watch it because I have one friend that's been asking me every couple of days, watching more Daredevil. And then I know that you finished. And one of my coworkers who works at the library, who's like in her early 20s, and I didn't even think that she liked comic books because I've talked to her about movies and that kind of stuff. And she said, oh, yeah, I watched Daredevil. And she said she really liked it. It was a little violent and gory for her, but she still liked it. So we'll next week we'll hopefully I get closer to the end, or maybe I'll finish it. Who knows? Okay. Since you talk about trailers, I got to talk about trailers. The second Warcraft trailer came out, and I really liked that because it seemed like there was no magic in the first Warcraft trailer, and there's a lot more magic in the second one. So I'm glad, cause I don't think that they've done I don't think they've done Wizards well, in the movies. But I'm going to kind of qualify that is that they haven't done Wizards based on a game right in the movies.
Right.
Kind of thing. It's kind of like when you're reading, you know, the Dragonlance novels, you kind of know all of the spells.
Right.
It can do.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And I'm not going in with any foreknowledge of World of Warcraft, so I'm not going to know, but, you know, kind of playing Savage Worlds, I want to see guys throwing bolts around.
Right.
Kind of thing. All right. Now, I'm losing my mind because I don't remember if we talked about Rogue One yet. Did we talk about Rogue One?
No, because that was supposed to drop the day after our last recording.
Okay, so, you know, I don't know how you can not be excited about Rogue One.
I'm totally excited about Rogue One.
Yeah, because you know that they love origin stories, so I guess now we get the Death Star origin story, which I'm totally fine with.
I suppose that's one way of looking at it.
Yeah. So, on a side note, my son asked me yesterday, would you rather have at your control the Death Star or Starkiller Base? And I thought about it for 10 seconds, and my son goes, well, yeah, you can destroy like 6 planets, but then you got to charge it again.
Right.
Whereas the Death Star, you can just keep firing. Or the, you know, more like the, and he's going off the Return of the Jedi, the Super Death Star, not the very first one.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know.
I seem like either one of them is going to get me in trouble.
It depends because, you know, if it's entire snow planet, then I don't want any part of Starkiller Base. If there's some nice tropical islands, then so during the seasons I could, you know, I can ski and then I could, I don't know, water ski or sea-doo around. Yeah. So anyways, let me see. What else have I watched? I think that's about it. Oh, on a non-guy move related note. Or a guy movie related note. There was a trailer for The Girl on the Train, which looks very, to not sound very eloquent, Gone Girly.
Okay.
But this time it has Emily Blunt in the lead role. And I don't think she disappears. So that kind of looks like a date night movie more than anything else. All right. I think that is going to end share time for me. No, let me take that back. I've been a bad member of the Backseat Producers because it's been a while since I've listened to our brother podcast, but I am starting to catch up and greatly enjoyed both episodes of The Labyrinth and Dogma. I will enter Podcasto's confession booth saying that I have not seen Dogma all the way through, but I probably have seen bits and pieces of it like 10 times. But it really is worth me rewatching because it's, you know, I don't know how you feel about Kevin Smith movies, but it might be his best.
I like Kevin Smith movies. I like, I've seen almost all of them. I didn't see Zack and Mary, but I saw Clerks and Clerks 2 and Mallrats and Jane saw Bob Strike Back and Dogma. And I even like Jersey Girl. I feel like I'm a Kevin Smith apologist.
I don't dislike Kevin Smith's movies. It just seems like Dogma is the most audacious subject matter that he's tackled.
Yeah.
You know. So yeah. Oh, and I just remembered another thing. You were talking about the Blu-ray for Force Awakens. I did check out some of the special features. And I absolutely love the special feature for John Williams that they did. Cause it really, I mean, I don't know what to say, but I have serious love for, you know, the soundtracks of all the Star Wars movies. In the beginning when I saw Force Awakens in the theater, the soundtrack didn't wow me, but after listening to it, I don't know, 250 times. It's so good. Deleted scenes, they're kind of meh for me. It is very clear that none of them really deserved to be in the movie because I don't think it really added anything. And I was led to believe that BB-8 is an actual working droid, but they had a lot of footage of there being still have to being a guy with a stick running BB-8 around a lot of the time.
Okay.
So there's a great BB-8 featurette on the disc that I greatly enjoyed. After watching it three or four more times, it is just the cutest thing is when BB-8 is like running, he puts his head down.
Yes.
He kind of angles his head. Oh, that is such a small detail, but I just love that. Just so cute. Okay. Enough rambling from Jeff here. So we're going to end share time and we're going to transition over to the news. So Art, what do you have?
Okay, well, being as we talk so much about the Force Awakens and the Blu-rays, DVDs, extras, blah, 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 I just saw this little news blurb on the Deadpool Blu-ray and DVD coming out May 10th. Okay. And I love when that happens. But did you see the screen cap of the pic that went out on Twitter?
Mm-hmm.
With all the little extra commentary on it? Gag reel, safe word not included.
Mm-hmm.
The real heroes, the writers, blah, blah, blah. So much spandex. I just think it looks hilarious. And to think
you forgot Deadpool's fun sack of balls?
Fun sack of balls. Yes, no, I did not forget the fun sack of balls. I just wasn't going to mention the fun sack of balls.
And I
Rob Liefeld, genius. There are a lot of people who would disagree with that, but I'm sure Deadpool being created by Rob Liefeld, I think he's a genius. I have my share of Rob Liefeld comics in my collection. Neither here nor there, but I just thought May 10th, that is just around the corner. I mean, we are, what, we're the 20th, 21st? I've lost track of time.
Yeah, so I had an interesting conversation with the wife about when Civil War comes out.
Okay.
Mother's Day weekend.
Oh.
In addition to that, Free Comic Book Day, the day before Mother's Day.
Wow, that is just comic palooza. That seems like bad timing on somebody's part.
Yeah.
But yeah, Deadpool, I will be picking up as soon as it comes out as well, being as it was probably, over the course of the last 12 to 18 months, probably the last couple of years, my second favorite movie. Right there behind the new Star Wars release, and I just so thoroughly enjoyed and cannot wait to watch again. All right, what do you have, good sir?
All right, from UK Yahoo Movies, every live action remake coming up from Disney.
Ah, okay. I saw that one and I thought about it when we talked about the Jungle Book and then last week talking about Pete's Dragon.
They've lost it.
Okay.
They've lost it. Or we were talking about Pete's Dragon. Beauty and the Beast.
Okay.
Emma Watson as Belle. Dan Stevens as Beast. Luke Evans as Gaston. And Ian McKellen, Stanley Tucci, and Emma Thompson as the various enchanted clocks.
Okay.
Next, we'll go to Dumbo. So there, it says Tim Burton's going to direct. Okay, so these other ones are in early stages, and we don't know a whole lot about who's going to direct, but they're doing Mulan.
Interesting. That there's a lot of rehashing. What is going on?
Pinocchio.
Okay. I mean,
so far they're supposedly Robert Downey Jr. is attached to star as Geppetto.
Okay. He's old enough at this point.
They were going to have Paul Thomas Anderson from The Master and There Will Be Blood. But he ended up leaving the project. So right now they don't have a director. This one is not so wild an idea, but Peter Pan.
But we just got Pan, and that totally flopped.
Yeah, but it's not Disney.
Okay.
And the last one on here, Winnie the Pooh.
I don't know what they're thinking. Why did
Now, obviously, this is very far out, and it could get canceled, or it could move to a different thing. But yeah, I just don't know. I just don't know. All right, Art, what you got next?
I mean, well, just on that for a second. I mean, I know that, computer graphics have come a long way, but have they come so far as to have ousted animation for the ease of production? I find that hard to believe. But that, it's really, to have this many, some of those are such current properties. I mean, to already be rehashing Mulan just seems crazy. I mean, I know it's been 9-10 years maybe already from Mulan, but still.
Yeah. unless they want to get that they're trying to get people to the parks.
Oh.
Because some of those, not so much Pete's Dragon, but some of those, you know, I closed it, but like Winnie the Pooh, I know Disneyland has a Winnie the Pooh ride. And obviously you probably can see a Winnie the Pooh going through the park. So I don't know. I'm just grasping at straws here, but
okay. Well, there's definitely
but it is unsettling. I mean, it was unsettling when they were doing Jungle Book.
Yeah.
And everyone's loving it.
There is definitely a bigger hype machine that gets behind movies as opposed to just things that are released on DVD or on their television channel.
Yeah,
so I guess I can see that.
And there's built-in audience, and there's probably a sizable built-in audience, you know, because these are all the movies that we watched when we were kids.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Okay, next up. Idris Elba is getting a U.S. TV show. Idris Elba has become such a big-name movie star that he seems to be everywhere. He does so much dashing from genre to genre that it's hard to imagine there's any role he can't handle.
Why am I picturing the middle fingers up right now? But go ahead.
No, it's fine. I do not begrudge this man any work. It has never been the issue.
So you change your stance then. Okay, go ahead.
I will happily re-explain it to you, sir, if that is what you are. No, that's what you're okay,
because I'm sure that's what everybody wants to hear.
Egging me on to do.
I'm just kidding. Please continue.
He's returning to the small screen for a major TV role for the first time since the fourth season of BBC's Luther. It is a Showtime 6-episode U.S. limited run series called Gorilla. And it follows a 1970s couple who makes the jump from political activism to radical militancy. Together, they liberate a political prisoner from an underground cell of radicalism, targeting a unit dedicated to destroying black activism in all shapes and sizes. So this is a 70s black activist period piece, and Idris Elba is coming back to the small screen. So I just thought that was interesting because it's Idris Elba, and I don't begrudge the man any work.
No, I know. I know.
What do you got?
Okay, so let's talk about a wackadoodle director. Now, I don't know how this is going to happen.
Oh, I have a feeling I'm going to close a clink here in a second, but go ahead.
James Cameron.
Yes!
Now, it doesn't say here, is he filming four movies at once.
Four movies at once.
I just don't understand.
I think he's getting old, and he wants to get them all done before he dies.
Yeah, I just don't know. I mean, it's when's the intervention?
Okay, but think about it. All right, the Hobbit movies and Lord of the Ring movies, those were all filmed pretty much concurrently. They went back, they did some reshoots, but they basically did a huge, big production and then chunked it up after the fact. So maybe he's thinking something along those lines.
Yeah, but Lord of the Rings, I think by film history or in the annals of or annals in film history. Sorry, 40 is there. I know it's late. See, now I got your attention.
You do, absolutely. You always have my attention, sir. Please continue.
Anyways.
You have more of my attention.
Yeah, or full attention. Okay. Lord of the Rings is probably going to be regarded more than the Hobbit movies.
Oh, for sure. No doubt. And I already do regard Lord of the Rings in a higher regard than the Hobbit movies. I haven't seen the last Hobbit movie.
Oh, well. I don't know. I think maybe the Titanic ship has sailed on that people want to see more Avatar movies. I don't know.
That made so much money. People like being a part of something like that.
Yeah. Oh, and a side note, Gail Ann Hurd has, because she's the executive producer on that new show on Sci-Fi, Hunters.
Okay.
So she's been doing the press tour or whatever. And she says that there's a chance that they could probably make the Terminator movies good again.
Okay.
So here's what she's talking about. That in 2019, the rights to Terminator reverts back to Mr. Cameron.
Oh.
Even though he is quoted as saying, I've moved on creatively from the Terminator, so I'm not really interested in that imagery and even those ideas anymore. And I'm not sure the world is that interested either. It's run its course, I feel. I wish I hadn't sold the rights for $1. If I had a little time machine and I could only send something back the length of a tweet, it would be don't sell. So apparently he sold the rights to Herd for $1.
Wow. Well, if he's done with it, he's done with it. But I think he's the original visionary who made it work.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he has, you know, too much cabin pressure from going down to the bottom of the ocean. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I enjoyed Avatar, but, you know, if you factor out the revolutionary 3D cameras, I mean, it was kind of ho-hum. I mean, you know, it's especially when you talk about unobtainium. So, okay. Art, what do you got next?
Okay, I got some very bad news for you, sir.
Uh-oh.
Star Wars Episode 8 is bringing back a classic ship.
How is this bad news?
This is bad news because you wanted to see new ships, and instead we're seeing old ships.
That's so fine.
The A-Wing is confirmed. The A-Wing is making an appearance in Episode 8.
That's good news as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. I thought you would be disappointed because you wanted to see more new ships. So tell me how is that good news as far as you're concerned? Just because you want to see more A-Wing or because you didn't get to see a lot of it in the original movie, so it's more of something you didn't get that much of? Or?
Well, I wanted to see more than the X-Wing.
Okay.
In Episode 7. And we don't have a lot of, like, the snub fighters.
Right.
That would be new. Because we've pretty much just stuck with the X, the Y, the A, and the B.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And they're kind of, even though it's a completely different time, they're showing A-Wings on Rebels, which means that they had A-Wings before the Battle of Yavin.
Right.
So why haven't we seen, but yeah, I'm fine with them having A-Wings. I just wanted to see, you know, the different ships.
So I just want more. Okay.
Yeah.
And this is a good more for you. All right. Well, then good. I'm glad. More is more. Less is less. What do you got next?
My last story is that you've all heard about crowdsourcing, but apparently that they're using crowdsourcing for the next Star Trek movie, Star Trek Beyond. So I guess that Simon Pegg and Doug Jung, who co-wrote the upcoming, or no, they're writing the current Star Trek Beyond. They've been really hitting Memory Alpha very hard, which is a fan wiki for the Star Trek universe. Quote from Simon Pegg here, "We had the entirety of Star Trek history at our disposal, and it was always there online. There's an amazing Wikipedia online called Memory Alpha. It became Doug's and my resource and the place that we turned to whenever we wanted to know, what kind of weapons does an NX vessel carry? Memory Alpha has it." They actually sent a message to the guys that administer that wiki, and they let them name. They said, "Hey, we need a name for this thing. So what do you guys want to call it?" And they said in 2 hours they came back with an entire etymological. I'm not even going to try to work through that. History of what that thing was.
Okay.
It's fantastic to have that support network. So it doesn't make me feel any better about Star Trek Beyond, but it looks like they're doing their best to, I guess, keep it consistent in the universe.
Sounds good.
All right, Art, what do you got next?
All right. My last story, a little more information on Bill and Ted 3. So 25 years later, they are finally reuniting for a third adventure. And they only just recently confirmed, I think it was just 3 weeks back, Keanu Reeves was confirmed to reprise his role as Ted Logan. They're looking to start production at the end of the year in 2016 or early 2017. I still own the original two Bill and Ted movies on DVD. I've been trying to get Brittany to watch them, but it just hasn't been working out. But I was a huge fan of these movies when I was younger. This was right at the tail end of high school for me. And I knew a bunch of band guys, band geeks, band guys who wanted to have a rock and roll band. And they were totally these guys. So yeah, I'm excited for Bill and Ted 3. It cannot come soon enough. So probably we're probably not going to see this till what, end of 2017, early 2018, with the way production goes.
Yeah, I don't know. Just another thing that they just can't leave alone.
Well, this is not a reboot. They're going to be older now. Who knows what they're going to be doing, but they,
can't be good.
Can't be good. All right. No good will come of it. Jeff has decreed. And that's all I've got for the night.
All right. So that was going to conclude this episode of Backseat Box Office. So until next time, everyone take care of yourself. Go see a movie. Have fun. And we will catch you next week. Art, say goodbye.
Goodbye.